Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, Celeste Headlee here with Lynn Scherr on The Takeaway. She's filling in for John Hockenberry. Good morning, Lynn.
Morning, Celeste.
You know, I understand America. I realize you feel like the closer we get to the election, the more you hear about politics and the more you don't want to hear about politics. But it's important stuff. So bear with me during this next conversation because we want to bust some of the myths. We're going to do a little bit of myth busting here on The Takeaway. And Alan Abramowitz is here to help us with this. He's a political science professor at Emory University, author of the book The Disappearing Center: Engaged Citizens, Polarization, and American Democracy. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Now, you wrote a piece, co-wrote a piece for the Washington Post in which you talked about five strong political myths heading into the midterm elections. We're going to get through all five of them. But because the president is on this five-state tour, let's start with number three of your myths. He is out there fundraising for Democratic candidates who are on the ballot in November. We heard a lot of talk over his role in Colorado with Bennett's win there. Many people feel like what the president has to say really sways voters heading into midterm elections. But you say that's a myth.
Right. So the president certainly can help his party and candidates with fundraising. But as far as actually influencing voters and their choices in the midterm elections and their opinions about his own performance, that is a myth. What we find is that there's very little evidence that presidents have been able to have any real impact just by going out and delivering a message, whether it's on the road or whether it's back in Washington.
What negatively? What if the president endorses a candidate and then the president does something that makes him very unpopular?
Well, there's also very little evidence that presidential endorsements really matter. Now, there are quite a few Democratic candidates this year who are deliberately avoiding any endorsements by the president or even appearing with the president because the president is rather unpopular in some parts of the country. But as far as endorsements having a positive or negative impact, you know, again, we see very little evidence that that's the case.
Okay, so let's go to your other four myths. The first one is really interesting because midterm elections are kind of an oddity of the United States. I mean, most countries don't have these.
Right.
And it makes for kind of a strange political landscape, these midterm elections. People think they predict all kinds of things and have all kinds of foretelling capabilities, and you say they don't.
No, they don't. Regardless of how well the president's party does in the midterm election, and generally the president's party does not do well in midterm elections. It almost always loses seats in Congress in the midterm elections. It tells us almost nothing about what's likely to happen down the road in the next presidential election or the next congressional elections. We have many examples in recent history of elections in which the president's party has done very poorly in the midterm and then 2 years later has come back to win the White House and do much better in the congressional elections. 1946-48 was an example of that. 1982-84,
another example. It may not predict the next presidential election. It certainly affects the way the country will be governed, though, does it not?
If the
Republicans retake the House, there goes Pelosi, in comes Boehner, a lot of things will change.
It could make a huge difference, that's right. So it's not that midterm elections are unimportant. They are important. It's just that they don't really tell us much about any sort of long-term trends or foretell the outcomes of future elections.
Well, that also leads into actually your fourth myth, which is that midterms provide mandates. You say that's a myth.
Right. The idea that the party that is successful in the midterm elections, and generally it's the opposition
party, one that doesn't hold the White House.
Exactly. Has derived some sort of mandate from the voters to carry out its
agenda,
its policies,
yeah,
that it campaigned on, and or just to block the president's policies. And in fact, it's very difficult to read any policy mandate into the results of these midterm elections. And party leaders who interpret the outcome of the election as a mandate often get themselves into trouble. A good example of that was what happened after the 1994 midterm elections when Newt Gingrich and the Republicans seemed to take the results of the election to mean that basically they had a mandate to govern the country.
The contract
and
from America.
That's right, the contract with America. But beyond that, oppose everything that the president stood for, and ultimately they got into this big confrontation with President Clinton, and the president came out on top of that, and that's what usually happens in those sorts of confrontations.
And that goes back to your myth number one about midterms not foretelling future election results. Harry Truman, his party suffered midterm losses. He got reelected, same for Reagan and same for Clinton as well.
That's right.
Let's move on to another of your, we have two myths left. The first one is that it's an anti-incumbent year, and we are hearing a ton of this, Ellen Abramowitz.
Right. We hear that constantly. And the fact is, however, if you really look at the results of the primaries so far, only a handful of incumbents have actually lost. And most of the incumbents who have lost have had special reasons why they lost. There were special circumstances going on there in most of those incumbent defeats, but over 98% of the incumbents have been reelected. When we get to November, we'll undoubtedly see more incumbents losing, but in November, the incumbents who lose will probably be almost entirely from the president's party. They won't be incumbents in general. So that's what usually happens in midterms. And when we have a wave election, the incumbent defeats come almost exclusively from one party. That was true in 1994, and it was also true in 2006.
In part because of the numbers, because there's more of them right now.
Well, there are more of them, that's right. And also, generally, it's the president's party that is
most vulnerable,
going to take the hit in the midterm election. But overall, we expect the vast majority of incumbents to be reelected.
Okay, this very last myth, which is number four on your list, is really actually surprised me. You say it's a myth that elections are always about the economy. Explain
right.
this, because this is surprising.
Well, midterm elections where the economy is key, as it is this year, but there are other midterm elections where other issues such as war and peace are more important. In 2006, it was the war in Iraq that was really the big issue. And there have been other midterms, like 1966. Again, it was the war in Vietnam. The economy was booming in 1966, but the president's party, the Democrats at that
right.
time, took big losses.
Right. And as you pointed out in your article for the Washington Post, a bad economy doesn't mean electoral disaster. A strong economy doesn't guarantee good results. Ellen Abramowitz, political science professor at Emory University, author of the book The Disappearing Center. Thanks so much, Ellen.